Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. If you're listening right now, you're part of something bigger, a global circle of women learning Torah together day after day. On July 22nd and 23rd, we're asking every one of you to join our crowdsourcing campaign, not just to support this program, but to help power everything we do. From Tardi Mecha Nachyomi to Counting Towards Sinai, Lech Kenos, leadership training, and mikvah attendant professional development, your gift sustains a movement. Whether you give $18, $180, or $1 a day, we're aiming for 100% participation because this community belongs to all of us. Visit ouwomen.org/elevatenachyomi and be part of it. Elevate our impact together. And now for today's perek.
Welcome to Tarati Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Ruchama Welcher, and today we're going to be studying Mishlei Perek Tes. In the beginning of the parak, we have a description of Chachma inviting people into a home. Again, as we said, Mishlei is Mishalim, it's analogies, it's parables. And in this case, Chachma is represented by the analogy of a woman who's inviting people to her beautiful home. Chachma is Bansa Besa, Chatzva Amudeo Shiva. Wisdom has built her house, and she has hewed her seven pillars. Tavcha Tivcha Mascha Yena Af Archa Shulchana. Inside her home, she has prepared her meat, she has mixed her wine, she has set her table, she's prepared a great feast. She sent out her young women to call out her invitation from the roofs or the towers of the city. And what is her invitation? Whoever's naive, whoever doesn't have wisdom, let him come here. Chasar lev omra loy. To he who lacks heart, she says to him, Lechu lachmu belachmi, ushesu b'yayin mosachti. Come, partake of my bread which I've prepared. Come, drink of the wine that I have mixed. Izvu pesoyim v'chiyu. Leave your naivete behind and live. V'ishru b'derach bina. And come, step on the way of understanding. Come and enjoy the ways of knowledge. So wisdom is portrayed as this woman who has this beautiful home, and a beautiful, marvelous feast, and she's saying, come, participate, I'm inviting you in, come, learn, leave your naivete behind, come and partake of this chachma, come and partake of my wisdom. Harav Steinsaltz explains that this invitation is specifically for people who are naive and inexperienced. They're keen to learn, and they don't have the knowledge. But it's not for scoffers who denigrate and ridicule wisdom. It's not for those who put chachma down. Because in Pasuk Zayin, Shlomo HaMelech continues, and he says, Yoser leitz lokeach lokolon. He who admonishes a scoffer, he who gives musa to a scoffer, takes disgrace upon himself. And in Pasuk Ches, he says, Al toichach leitz pen yisna'eka. Don't rebuke a scoffer, because he'll hate you for it. But in contrast, hoichach lechacham v'yehaveka. Rebuke the wise person, alert him to his mistakes, and he will love you. The Chacham will be pleased. He'll thank you for helping him to amend his ways. Ten l'chacham v'yechkam oid. Give an idea, give a suggestion to the wise person, and he'll become wiser from it. Hoida l'tzadik v'yosef lekach. Inform a righteous person of what he should do, and he'll add learning. Even though a Chacham is already wise, or maybe because they are already wise, a Chacham is keen to learn more. In contrast to the leitz, to the scoffer who rejects all musa, who rejects all chachma. And the Metzudah explains that a leitz, a scoffer, he thinks he's fine, he thinks he's smart, and that's why he can't or he won't accept a rebuke. But a sign of chachma, an indication of a chacham, is that he wants to improve, and that's why he's so grateful for the criticism. It says in Perkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph, Ezehu chacham haloymed mikol adam. What is the sign of a wise person? Someone who's continuously learning. He wants to learn from everyone and everything. Everything's an opportunity to gain wisdom. Because he's smart, by definition, he's looking for more opportunities to learn. That's the definition of a chacham. And I want to share the most beautiful idea that I learned on Pasuk Ches from the Piasetzner Rebbe in his Sefer Chovos HaTalmidim. And he's quoting the Shlach HaKadosh. He says, Al toichach leitz. Don't criticize a clown. Don't criticize a scoffer. Meaning, when you criticize them, don't treat them like a clown or a scoffer. Don't say, you're so ridiculous, you're such a late. And you can fill in the blanks here. Don't say, you're so lazy, you're so manipulative. Pen yisna eka, because that's not going to go anywhere. It won't be constructive. It's just going to cause him to hate you. And he won't improve, and the whole thing is a waste of time. Alta chachlit, don't criticize someone by telling them they're a clown. But rather, hoicheach lechacham, criticize a chacham, say, you're a chacham. Why are you doing this? A chacham like you should act better. And that's the way to get someone to listen. We can elevate people through the way that we criticize them. And that's the most constructive form of criticism. And the Piasetz Narabi says it's so essential in our generation when it's hard to reach people. And he's writing this pre-war. So if it was true then, it's also definitely true now and maybe even more so. But he's saying bring out people's strengths. Don't put them down. We generally tend to behave in ways that are in line with other people's expectations of us. So when we're around people who think we're funny, so all of a sudden, there we are cracking hilarious joke after hilarious joke. And when we're around people who think we're creative, all of a sudden we have one fantastic creative idea after another. And when we're together with people who think we're generous, then we behave with more generosity than we do the rest of the time. So if we believe in people's intrinsic chachma, then they rise to that. If we believe in their strengths, if we believe in their greatness, then they behave in ways that match that. Recently, Mrs. Shalvi Freeman spoke for the OU Women's Initiative in the Counting Towards Sinai program, and she told a very impactful story that really resonated with me. She said she was in the park and she saw her teacher's son, and her teacher's son hit somebody or pushed somebody, and the teacher went over to the kid and he said to him, "Tzadikim don't push people." That was all. And it's such a powerful way of criticizing someone, because if you believe that they're a tzaddik, then they rise to that tzidkus. And this idea also links to the pasuk in Vayikra Perek Yutes, where the Torah commands us to rebuke other people. And it says, "Toicheach, toicheach es amisecha, lo sisa olav chait." You should surely rebuke your fellow, and lo sisa olav chait. Rav Gedalia Shor explains that lo sisa can literally be translated as don't lift, or don't elevate. The Shorish Nasa means to raise or to elevate. And he says, Losissa olav chait means when you're rebuking him, don't elevate, don't raise the sin above him. Don't make the sin bigger than him. Meaning don't say, how dare you do something like this? Who are you to say this? Who are you to do this? Don't make the sin bigger than him, but rather elevate the person. You're such a wonderful person. Someone like you, this isn't befitting for you. So we can use criticism as a way to build people up, not to tear them down. And then embedded in this pasuk are also implications about receiving criticism. Because a scoffer hates Musa and a chacham loves criticism because he's looking to improve himself. So we can learn a lot about receiving criticism here too. Rav Volpi quotes Rav Yisrael Salanta on the pasuk in Tehillim, "Bakomim olai mareim tishmana oznai." When enemies get up against me, I listen carefully to all of my critics, because that's the way I'm going to improve. And it's very, very difficult, because often criticism has a lot of elements that are unfair. But he's saying, listen carefully, bakomim alay mareim tishmana osnai, because maybe there's something true in the criticism, and you can take that and learn from that. Our first instinct is always not to listen. We're upset that we're attacked, so we push back. How can he tell me what to do? Why is he judging me? But a person like this can never ever grow. The Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah Perek Daled lists 24 attitudes or behaviors that prevent a person from doing teshuvah. There are 24 things that can stop a person, that can hold him back from becoming more than he is currently, from being more. And one of these 24 things is someone who doesn't hear rebuke. Because how can you grow that way? If you never hear rebuke, how can you improve? I heard a great mashal from Rav Lapiansky. He says, if you manufacture rulers, and you want to check how reliable the measurement on your rulers is. You want to check how accurate they are. You can't use one of your own rulers to check. You need to use an external ruler. Your own ruler is not going to tell you if your rulers are biased, right? So you need an external ruler from a different factory to come and tell you if your rulers are working or not. This is an external person to tune us straight, to give us advice, to set us on the narrow again. Such a gift. We don't see ourselves objectively. We're measuring ourselves by our own rulers. If we have someone else who can give us that objective advice, it's such a blessing. But again, it's very, very hard. We hate admitting that we're wrong, and it makes us feel vulnerable. And I think it probably comes from a good place, because we're good people, we want to do the right thing. And if we're told that we're wrong, it makes us doubt ourselves. And we want to believe that we're good because we want to be good. But there's no growth unless we can listen to other people and to constructive criticism. If you rebuke the wise person, if you alert him to his mistakes, he will love you because it's a springboard for him to improve. Or ten lechacham v'yechkam oid, give a suggestion to a wise person, he'll become wiser. Inform a righteous person of something that he can correct or improve, and he'll add to that. And now to take this idea back to the beginning of the parak, we described in the first pasuk how wisdom builds a home, and she used seven pillars for the foundations of her home. The Ralbag links these seven pillars. He makes the connection to the pasuk later on in Mishlei, ki shiva yipol tzadik v'kum. A tzadik falls seven times and rises up again. The seven pillars of the house of Chachma, what are these seven pillars? They're falling and getting up again. Seven times falling and getting up again. These are the pillars of the home of the Chacham. In other words, life experience. Chachma doesn't come from reading textbooks or from going to a class. Chachma comes from life experience. We said a pesi is someone who lacks life experience. He's naive because he doesn't have that life experience. So the idea here is that if you want Chachma, there's no shortcut. You have to go through the school of life, which includes falling and getting up again, time after time after time. Sheva yipol tzadik v'kum. That's a foundation of Chachma. Going through life and falling and getting up again is a foundation for Chachma. And I think that this is linked to the concept of being able to receive musar, to be able to receive criticism. Because embedded in the idea of a tzadik falling seven times is the idea that nobody's perfect. And the route to self-improvement is through a lot of falling and rising each time again after we fall. That's how a tzaddik becomes a tzaddik. So you'll keep falling and you have to keep getting up. And I think that this is linked to the idea of being receptive to criticism. Because as we said, one of the reasons that receiving criticism is so difficult is because we want to do the right thing. We're good people. So we don't like the feeling of failure that we get when we're criticized. But if you understand that falling is part of the process, that shiva yipol tzadik, that in order to become a chacham you need these seven pillars of falling seven times, then we don't relate to failure as devastation. It's just another time that we fall and we'll get up again. So criticism doesn't have to be devastating. It's just part of our process. And then finally, to move on to the last few psukim of the parak, the voice of wisdom inviting people into a home is now contrasted with her rival. The voice of foolishness also invites people into her home. So starting with Pasuk Yidgamot, Eishes ksilus hoimia, the woman of folly is clamorous, she's talkative, she's loud. You can find her everywhere, she's on every stage and every platform, she's on Twitter, X, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. She's so easily accessible and there's no shortage of access to foolish voices. And in Pasuk Tesvav, she calls out, Mi pesi yosor heina. Whoever's naive, let him turn here, which are the exact same words as spoken by the wise woman earlier. And that's why we have to not just listen to her words, but we have to observe who is the speaker, who is she? We have to be discerning about whom we listen to. And this foolish woman who is inviting us to our home promises, Mayim genuvim yimtoku, stolen waters are sweet, velechem susarim yinom, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Now, if you'll notice, and the Malbim points this out, that this woman is only offering bread and water. The woman that represented wisdom at the beginning of the parak, she's offering meat and wine. Her offerings are way more superior, way more rich. The woman of folly, she's only offering simple bread and water. But because the bread and the water of this woman of folly are stolen, because they're forbidden, so it's sweet. It's only water. How can water be sweet? But it reflects the reality that we find a certain sweetness or a certain pleasure in the forbidden. A forbidden food or a forbidden conversation or a forbidden relationship can have a certain thrill. And the Sichas Moshe says that this reflects our fundamental dislike of being told what to do. Stolen waters are sweet because you're breaking out of the confinements of instruction and breaking out of being told what to do, and that's so thrilling. I can't remember where I heard this or read this, but as creatures of free choice, of Bechira, we're deeply creative, so we get tremendous pleasure from exercising our free will. And that's why there's also an attraction to break out of the restrictions. There's a kind of joy into being creative and not doing what we're told. But the Sichos Musa discusses how deference, how doing what we're told, is an absolutely critical aspect in our relationship with Hashem and in training us to be totally dedicated avodim, servants of Hashem. To the extent that Chazal even say that a person should go to the opposite of extreme of the idea of stolen waters are sweet. What's the opposite? It's when you say, instead of saying, I could never eat shellfish, that's so disgusting, it smells gross, it looks gross, I could never do that. Rather, a person should say, I'd love to eat shellfish. It looks amazing. I've heard it tastes amazing. To eat these stolen waters would be so, so sweet. I would love to do it. But I'm a servant of Hashem and he decreed that I mustn't and therefore I won't. That's the attitude that we're supposed to have, where I'm not doing this because of my own personal choice. I'm doing this purely because of my dedication and purely because of my deference. And that's the opposite of stolen waters are sweet. Instead of finding joy and pleasure from breaking out of what you're supposed to do, it's saying, I'm going to totally defer to whatever Hashem wants of me. Thank you for studying together in the merit for Refuah Shleimah for your Nina Zimmer Bas Daphne Hinder and all the wounded members of Tzahal, amongst all the rest of those who are ill amongst Klal Yisrael, sponsored by Nina and Chaim Schenker.
If this learning touched you today, if it's part of your daily rhythm, we invite you to give back. Tarity Mechanach Yomi is sustained by women like you who listen, learn, and now support. $1 a day, $365 a year helps keep it strong. Every gift, big or small, helps us continue and grow. We're aiming for 100% participation because every woman in this circle counts. Visit ouwomen.org/elevatenachyomi to join our campaign today. Elevate our impact together.